Excuse me, let's try that again. Good evening, everyone. It's Gene Montristelli, the editor at TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to our monthly question and answer and tap-along call. As we move through the call tonight, if you have a question or an issue that you'd like us to tap for a little bit tonight, you got two options. One, if you have called in, all you need to do is press *2 on your touchpad, and that will raise your hand, and I'll be able to unmute you and give you a chance to ask your question. The other option is, if you're listening to us online tonight, all you need to do is in the box in the left-hand side of the page that you're listening to right now, you can type your question in, hit send, and I will be getting those questions here. Just as a reminder, if you are typing a question in, there is about a 15 to 20 second delay from when you type that question in and when I actually get that. So if it takes a few seconds for me to get to your question, you're going to know what's going on. So I would just like to open the floor. If you got questions, if you have tapping issues, feel free to type your questions away or raise your hand and we will go from there. First question that has come in. What is the weirdest thing that you have ever tapped for? You know, they say, you know, as Gary always said, try it on anything. And I can't think of anything particularly that I think is particularly weird in my life. I did have someone one time write in and ask me the question what they needed to do to grow a third set of teeth. You know, we have baby teeth and then we have our adult teeth. And he wanted to be in a circumstance that he could use tapping to get his body to kickstart to grow another set of teeth to have it come in. The really nice thing is about tapping is the fact that it's so easy to use. It only takes a few minutes to try. As you know, it's non-pharmacological. We can do it anytime, anywhere, and I have. So it's worth giving it a try. So if you come across something that feels so weird, you don't know if you can tap for it or not, just try it. The only thing that you're going to waste is 90 seconds of your life, assuming you're not doing something silly like poking your own eye out or hurting yourself in some way. So with that question, if you have something that you're afraid to ask because you think it's too weird to tap for, go ahead and type it in and maybe we'll give it a chance and try tapping for it tonight. Second question that has been typed into the chat box. Who should I get certified with? I want to be a professional tapper. This is a tricky question, and I'm going to give you the most honest answer that I can give you in the way that I approach this. I'm going to give you an honest answer. I'm not going to hide anything, but I want you to recognize that the answer that I'm giving right now, this is opinion. This is editorial. This isn't written as instruction. This isn't given to you as fact. This is my approach. I think that there are four reasons that you would go and get a certification of any sort, okay? Be it if you're a hairdresser, be it if you're a tapper, be it you're a doctor, whatever. I see four very specific reasons why you should get certified, okay? Number one, there is a legal requirement. In the United States of America, to practice medicine, you need to be certified as a doctor or a nurse or a physician's assistant or some medical certification. It's not that you just have the training, but you need to demonstrate competency and you need to pass tests. To be a teacher in a public school, it's a similar circumstance. You have to be certified to do that. When it comes to tapping in the United States of America, at this point in history, there is no legal requirement for certification. Now, there are legal requirements to work on particular issues. For example, if you are really sad, I can legally tap with you. If you have been diagnosed as depressed, I need a note from your doctor. If you are really worried about spiders, I can tap with you. If you have been diagnosed by a physician, a psychologist, a psychiatrist as having arachnophobia, I need a note from your doctor. Now, in my practice, I've never had a doctor say no, that whenever I've needed a referral, I've gotten one of those. So there is a legal requirement for me to work with certain issues in certain settings, but getting certified in tapping is not going to make it so I can or cannot do that. So the first thing is there is a legal requirement. The second reason that you might seek certification is because you have demonstrated your competency and been certified by somebody, then it is going to build your reputation with clients or possible clients. So if having, you know, a logo or the imprimatur or the opportunity to be listed on someone's website is something that will help build your business and you think it's going to give you opportunities to share, that's great. You know, a number of the bodies that are doing certification now, part of what you get when you're certified is you get listed in their directory. So if somebody's out there looking for a tapping practitioner and they believe that somebody provides the best training, more than likely they're going to look for somebody who's been certified by them in their area, and that's the way they're going to investigate. So if it builds your reputation, legal requirement builds reputation. The third reason that you'd get a certification is oftentimes a body that does certification is going to give you special access to resources and community. You know, so if I get certified with organization X, I now have unlimited access to their member forum. So I have the opportunity to keep asking their trainers questions and asking other practitioners questions. So some people might find that very, very valuable, that there's a community out there. I get to go to their national conferences, or I get a discount on their resources, or I get a discount on their national conferences, or their training, or whatever it is. So if the organization that is doing the certifying gives you benefit that you see is valuable. The fourth reason that you get certified, which probably should have been the first reason that you get certified, is it makes you better. That you're actually learning something that adds to your competency so that when you're doing work on your own or you're working with clients, you do a better job. And you recognize that a particular certification process is going to do that. Now, a little vocabulary here that might be helpful for you. There's a difference between getting a certificate and getting a certification. You get a certificate when you attend something. You know, I get a certificate of participation. I go to somebody's level one class and I sit in the ballroom for 2 days and I nod my head and I participate and I'm there. I get a certificate that I've completed level one. Certification implies I have demonstrated my competency. I've either passed a test or I've worked with clients and had somebody evaluate me as I work with those clients. So that's what certification is going to look like. So, stepping back, do I want to be certified? Four questions I ask are, is there a legal requirement? Is it going to help my standing with the people I'm serving? Is it going to give me special access to resources and opportunities? And is it going to improve the work that I'm doing? For me, and this is, again, my personal choice, for me, I have not lost any opportunities because I have not been certified by a body that I've wanted to have. Most of the people I work with, I'm the one that's introduced them to tapping, or they know enough about tapping and then they go to my website and they see the library of resources where I'm demonstrating my competency and they don't care if I've been certified because they can see firsthand that I'm good at what I do. I hope I am. But that's the way that they would see it if they're looking at my stuff and they then choose to work with me. As far as getting better, I have gone to the people who I think are the best at lots of things, and I've taken the things from them that I can bring to EFT. I've gone to the hypnosis community and studied with the best people I could study with there and brought that to my tapping practice. I went to the NLP community and did the same thing, and I did parts integration. I did the same thing, and I went to copywriting, which is just about communicating and building a rapport with people, and I brought that to the work that I do. And so I've gone and I've worked really hard to get better at the skills I see specifically helping me with clients. And what I've done is I've patched them together to do the work that I want to do. Now, you might decide as a beginning practitioner that you want supervision and those other things that come in a certification process. I received that through my hypnosis training. Then that's great. So at this point, I have not received any of the EFT certifications because of those four criteria, I've been able to take care of myself where I haven't needed to do that yet. Now, that's not to say that I won't change my mind. You know, particularly as these communities begin to build, having community to share with is awesome. If you're interested in seeing kind of what I think the most important things are and what I do, I'd encourage you to go over to expert tapping resources and click on the training. And what I'm going to do is for this month and next month, I'm going to make that the super special deal. I'll mention that in the newsletter. Just so if you want to see the type of training I do and the way I approach it, that's all there. So that's my approach and my thought on certification. So if you want a follow-up question on that, you know, or a question about anything else tonight, to raise your hand, all you need to do is press *2. And if you want to ask a question in the chat box, just type it away and send it along. Let's see here. How many times a day should I be tapping? This is a really good question, and unfortunately, I have a really super, super, super unsatisfactory answer for you. The answer is, it depends. I think that when we are tapping, that it's important, at least for me, to think of my regular tapping practice. I think of it in two chunks. I think of it in the chunk where I'm working on issues that are persistent that I'm trying to knock out, kind of like a lot of the goal stuff that we're doing in my EFT year. And the other part is I'm thinking in terms of first aid. And what I mean by first aid is when something comes up during my day that I need to tap on. You know, I get a phone call with distressing information from someone I love. I'm asked to do something I'm not prepared for. I almost got in an accident in traffic and I'm really emotional about it. So that's first aid. So I'm going to pull out EFT in a first aid response sense whenever I need it. If I'm doing something through my day and I'm going along and something shows up that's big or emotional or disproportionate, I'm going to tap for that. So that could be 0 times a day. That could be 175 times a day. And I hope it's not 175 times a day, but it could be. So the number of times I tap in first aid is going to be based on the number of times that I need to do some sort of first aid tapping. So then the other part, how much time do we need to be spending tapping to work towards something? Tapping is one of those things that I would really equate it to working out. You know, the more we do it, the more effective working out's going to be. You know, if I work out once a month, it's going to, you know, give me a little calorie burn in the moment, but I'm not going to build much momentum. And at the other extreme, if I'm running a marathon every single day, that's no longer a workout regimen. That's something else. And there are people who do that in extreme cases, but I'm not trying to eliminate weight and get into heart healthy way. Then I'm running for a very particular reason. So there's kind of this middle ground. You know, running a mile is good. Running 100 miles isn't 100 times better. So when it comes to doing our tapping, what it is it's important to find that place and that balance that is right for you to figure out how much you should be tapping. For me, the way that I like to do it is every day, like we've talked about before, I like to spend time tapping for my to-do list and my calendar to see what's going on today. So I do that every single day. At least twice a week, I set some time aside to tap on an issue that I think is really, really important. You know, it could be a self-esteem issue, or it could be speaking in public issue, or it could be a relationship issue, or something that's really persistent, where I recognize that if I transformed this part of my life, it would have a really significant difference. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to set aside between 25 and 45 minutes twice a week to just work on that. And what's interesting is, as I've been doing that lately, I've actually been videotaping all of those sessions. And so sometime in the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'm actually going to release 30 or 40 videos so you can see what I've been tapping on and you can tap along with me to see how I approach that stuff. So for me, that's how much I tap. You know, first aid, whenever it comes up, every single morning I tap through my to-do list. I try and tap in the evening to kind of clear the whatever's going on for the day. I do a number of things at the end of the evening. I oftentimes stretch. I often take a salt bath. I do a number of breathing exercises. So I might not reach for tapping, but I do something at the end of the day for relaxation. And then at least twice a week, I'm going to find 25 to 45 minutes to do some stuff. And this is one other thing I didn't mention, about once a month, because things are going really well right now. About once a month, I'm going to find time and I'm going to work with my guy. You know, just how people hire me to do work. You know, there's someone I hire so I can go off and do work on my own as well because of the advantage of working with someone else. So, yeah, so that's how much I tap. Again, if you have a question, all you need to do is press *2 to raise your hand if you're one of the folks who have called in. If you are online, you can just type it into the little box there and we'll get a chance to see your question here in the chat box. Okay. Following up to what I just said there. Why do you work with someone if you're a tapping professional and how did you choose them? That's a really great question. Why we work with someone else? There are a number of reasons why I think it's important that we work with someone else. The first is the person that we are working with is going to provide distance. They're not going to be caught up in all the emotional chaos of what we're experiencing. And so they're going to see things really clear. And we're all already aware of how powerful this is. You know, oftentimes when we have problems or troubles, what we'll do is we'll turn to a friend and say, you know, this is what I'm really struggling with. And they'll say, hey, did you notice that? Or did you ever think of? So one thing that working with someone else is going to do is they're going to provide perspective, because the thing that I probably have the least amount of perspective on is the thing that I'm experiencing emotionally, because it's really hard for me to see out of the emotional experience that I'm having. And so perspective is big picture. When I'm in the middle of the emotion, I'm in the middle of the emotion, and there is no perspective to be had inside of that. So the first thing they provide is perspective. The second thing that a really good practitioner provides is they provide experience. That when you're selecting a practitioner, you want to select someone who has experience with working with either your type of person or your type of situation or your type of work. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. You know, for a long time, I did regular work with weight release stuff. And I don't do it as much now. You know, I send everybody to my friend Brittany Watkins because she's super, super good at that. Like, that is her expertise. That's something that she's lived through and she's worked with hundreds and hundreds of people. And so because of that, she has that. So what we want to do is we want to find someone who is going to be able to relate and understand to us. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they've been through the same thing. You know, I do not have a special needs child, but I get the opportunity to do a great amount of work with families that have autistic children because I've had a lot of experience working with parents with special needs. And so because of that experience, I'm going to be able to respond in a specific way. The same thing comes to self-sabotage. You know, I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of conversations about why we don't do the things that we do. And so when a client shows up and says, you know, I'm really having this problem, you know, I want to be creating something and sharing it with the world and I'm never getting to that last spot. Well, I've had that conversation a number of times that in my mind, I'm already thinking of 6 or 7 specific areas that we can investigate that's going to be easier for us to navigate that because of that experience. The third thing that a good practitioner brings is they bring expertise. And what I mean by expertise is they have tools and tricks and training that's going to allow us to find relief in a rate that's much, much quicker than we would find on our own. You know, the basic recipe is a really great way to approach something, and I have a bunch of tools in my arsenal that I'm able to draw upon when we're working that oftentimes in less than 2 minutes, we're going to find our way to a root cause, that we're going to unpack something really, really quickly because I've been trained in ways to help us do that. And so we want to find someone who isn't us. Well, obviously, we want to find someone with experience. We want to find someone with expertise. And so we get the opportunity to do that. And so before you go out and you start working with someone, what you want to do is you want to have a conversation. You know, you want to see if you're a good fit for them. If you're paying attention to your inbox this morning, you saw an invitation from me to work with me for 8 months in a really comprehensive way. And you'll notice I didn't say, hey, sign up. What I did was said, hey, if you're interested in this, let's have a conversation to see if this is a good fit. Because I want to make sure I'm really serving the people who are working with me. And that's what a good practitioner does. When I did something similar to this back in September, and I was going to work with a small group of people, there were five or six of them that I had a conversation with that we recognized this wasn't the right fit. Either I wasn't the right person for them, it wasn't the right program for them at that time, or they needed something completely different. And instead of the offer I was making, what we did is we constructed something different that served them for what they needed. And so when we're seeking somebody out and we're seeking for work to do with them, those are the things that we want to keep in mind. So, excellent. Great question. Let's see. Are there any other questions? I have no more questions typed into my chat box. No one is raising their hand. And I'm going to give you a few more seconds because there's a 15 to 20 second delay on the recording going out to the world. While we're checking, seeing if anybody has any other questions, just a really, really simple reminder. I did send out an email this morning to my regular mailing list, which I'm sure you got because you get lots of stuff from me, explaining a new program that I'm doing, that if you're looking to work with someone in a really concentrated way, where you're getting 45 minutes of my time every week or an hour and a half of my time every other week, it's almost like my EFT here on super, 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 super steroids, it will help you along with that. Doesn't appear that we have any other questions in the chat box. Doesn't appear that anybody's raising their hand. So I guess we're going to call it a night. As a reminder, as we move into the instruction calls and the tapping Q&A calls next month, shoot me emails if you're not going to be on the call, if you're listening to this after the fact. A couple of the questions we did tonight actually came to me as an email ahead of time, so you can get your questions answered and you can go back and re-listen to it. As always, if there's anything I can do for you, I can always be reached at gene@tappingqna.com, or when you log into my EFT year, if you just hit the contact button, you'll be able to fill out a form and ask me a question or just reply to any of my emails. I'm going to zip over one last time and check. No other questions. So I guess that will be it. I hope you have an awesome, awesome Tuesday evening, wherever you are in the world. And I will talk to you real soon. Have a great night. Bye-bye.